Welcome to the Round 11 Supercoach Coach Podcast. I'm Marcus and I'm joined this week by FB Donkey.
G'day mate, good to be back.
To our listeners, excuse me for any sort of snotty sounds or if I sound a little bit congested, a little bit under the weather. I seem to have caught it over the waves from your illness last week, Mark.
I think Faz might be more to blame than me, buddy.
Yeah, I saw him on the weekend while he was sick, and that may have been a not-so-smart decision. Anyway, as we do each week, Mark, let's kick off the podcast with a quick personal update. How did you go on the weekend, mate?
Quicker the better, mate. 22.84 for me, which was my first, like, even remotely reasonable score for at least a month. Season rank out to 22,000. I've honestly never been this lowly ranked at this time of the season. So new territory for me. I had a donut on the weekend with so many injuries, Williams, Dangerfield, Moore, Matt Crouch. So I got a bit lucky with some of the rookies like Atkins on field. And yeah, hopefully some of those premiums are back this week. I also had Rockliffe and Scrimshaw both get injured in game, both for the second time this year. And that really probably took 100 points off the score and stunted my overall scoring, mate. How about you?
I did a little bit better, but only marginally so. 23.06, which put me up 2,300 spots. So at least it seems to be a somewhat positive score. I'm happy considering I had Williams, Moore, Crouch, and Dangerfield all out. I know a lot of people have most of them, but I think four is a pretty high amount to have to cop on the bench. I had no donuts, which was fortunate enough, but my trades this week actually took me backward. Derzma was my trade out for Sicily, and he scored.
Damn.
Yep. And Parker scored pretty well as well, and I traded in Hinge. But I'm pretty happy with the Hinge trade in, at least.
Yeah, looking good. And at least you didn't go for Young, who didn't quite get it done on the weekend.
Yeah. When I first came out of lockout, I had Broadbent and Toby Green as my two trade-in targets.
That would have worked all right.
And I didn't have the balls to proceed with trading in two mid-price players this far late into the season. And I'm definitely regretting that for now.
One first week regrets, mate. Things will turn around.
Fingers crossed. Anyway, a quick group update. First up, our public group is now being led by Luke's team, such as Fife. He is a perennial high scorer. I think I remember calling his name up at the top of the leaderboard last year as well. Luke's coming eighth overall at the moment, which is a huge accomplishment. So, yeah, well done, Lukey. I'm sure he's in some of our leagues as well, helping to prop them up. In terms of our Patreon group, our top scorer for the week was Jason's team, the blue team. He scored 24.90, not quite beating the 2,500 mark that was set in round three, but still a great score nonetheless. And our overall leader for the Patreon group remains Aiden's team, the Stargazing Goats. He scored 24.37 and actually moved up into the top 100. So he's sitting at 80th at the moment and in contention for our overall prize for the Supercoach Coach Patreon group. This week, we had probably one of the more interesting things that have happened mid-season in the last 10 years of playing Supercoach, and that is we got a mid-season AFL draft, which was pretty exciting. Mark, did you tune in for that?
No, I didn't, mate. I had kid duty, but I did check out the results, and it looks like Sydney Swans may have stolen the Bombers' ruckman. With Noel going at pick four, I think it is, to the Swans. I would have expected the Bombers to draft a ruckman, but then we passed on pick 18 and picked up a young kid called Snelling from Adelaide. So only 174 centimetres, but has been dominating the sample.
Well, we can go through the options pretty quickly. I was watching the draft live and took a few notes here. We did talk, I think a few weeks ago now, about the mid-season draft and the potential for it to help our Supercoach teams, Mark. Yeah. Are you somewhat optimistic having seen this result, or are you thinking that potentially some of these players were drafted for the long term and we might not actually see that many of them get played?
Yeah, a little bit of a combination of both. I guess DeLuca will be an interesting one at Carlton. They've got a couple of other people of similar sort of nature. Like, I mean, Evan Gibbons is pretty similar. So I don't know, like, whether he will get a game early. You'd think that he was recruited, ready to play, though, having been on Fremantle's list for a bit. A few of the other early selections were more future-based picks. But I know that Dunkley's been in pretty good form and anyone could get a game at Melbourne at the moment, couldn't they?
I think the challenge will be really gelling with a brand new team and learning how to play AFL structures.
You've
never played it before. Yeah. So honestly, listening to the coverage, I'm not overly optimistic that a bunch of them will get games, especially early. Like, they might get them by the end of the season, but if we're hoping for them to help out during the mid-season, it appears that most clubs didn't necessarily take that approach to their recruiting during this last draft.
Because it's really hard because they haven't been to an AFL preseason. They haven't been through a summer of practicing the structures and learning the structures. And it'd be pretty hard to bring them in within a couple of weeks, you would think.
Yeah. Quite a few of the teams brought in blokes who were 18, 19, 20, and they kept referencing the future. And when pressed about whether or not they would be playing early in the season, they pretty much said they don't have high expectations or they're not going to put pressure on them breaking into sides. So I think that's going to be a bit indicative of what we are going to see play out.
Doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose of having a mid-season draft?
Yeah, and who knows whether or not that changes what the AFL does with it going forward rather than it just being sort of a free hit for anybody who can free up a spot in their team to pick up a player who, you know, may otherwise get to a pick in the 20s in the end-of-season draft. And an example of that, you know, is Tim Kelly or Liam Ryan. Like, if there was a mid-season draft during that year, picks 24 and 26. Like, is it just an opportunity for these clubs to snap them up early? I did have a few notes on blokes who I think may potentially get a game, or at least the recruiter or the representative that picked them sort of gave a little bit more encouraging commentary on those players. So I'll start off with Cam Sutcliffe. He was recruited for Port. Obviously, has already previously played for Frio. He's 27 years old, and he already plays for Port Adelaide Seconds team. Obviously, already plays their structures. They obviously brought him on because they think that he could help them in a push toward the final series for the current year. So he seems like probably one of the standouts.
He's like a halfback flanker mainly, isn't he? Or is he more midfield this year?
Well, when he was playing in the AFL, he was a little bit more as a halfback flanker, but I'm not too sure actually where he played.
Okay. It just seems to me that Adelaide have quite a lot of halfback flankers already.
Well, and they've blooded, you know, what we're talking, 6, 7, 8 different debutants across, like, you know, it's definitely at least 6 across the year. So, you know, there's definitely spots potentially available there. Atlee and Garner we saw in the last couple of weeks. So, yeah, he's one to keep an eye out on. Another one's the bloke you've already referenced, and that's Michael Knoll, 26-year-old mature age ruckman for Sydney. They specifically referenced Sam Naismith being out and that being longer than they expected. So, you think that there's potentially a role there that he could play for a few games here or there. I doubt he takes over number one ruck or gets consistent games, but certainly a potential backup option.
Okay.
Actually, Will Snelling, who you drafted or your Bombers drafted, Mark, who you mentioned, 174 centimetres. He's 21 years old. He's a pressure player. And the Essendon representative who was talking said that they wanted to bring somebody in as cover for Devon Smith, him being the entire year and wanting some pressure cover. So considering the outs, I'm not sure whether or not Will Snelling might get a sniff in your side, Mark.
Yeah, from the sounds of it, he would be AFL, close to AFL ready. It would just be a matter of how long it takes him to pick up our game plan. Although we'd have to have one for that.
Just a couple more. We've got John Noble, who went to Collingwood, 22 years old, plays for West Adelaide as a wingman. You would think that Collingwood would bring a bloke in with an eye to the final series. Whether or not they're actually, you know, intending for him to break into the 22 is another story, but he's certainly a chance you would have thought. And the way that they described him, they said, you know, they're looking at John Noble and from the medium to long term. So whether or not the medium includes potentially getting some games down the track or not, not entirely sure, but he's one to keep an eye on. He's one of the only finals contenders that or, you know, top four contenders that actually drafted someone from the mid-season draft. So to keep an eye on him. And then one more would be Ryan Gardner for the Western Bulldogs. 22-year-old key position swing player. Actually played for Geelong. Was delisted at the end of last year. Played as a backman for us, but can play up forward. And they specifically referenced Tom Boyd going down and him being a potential replacement slash cover for him. So he's another one that you could potentially keep an eye on as well.
The rookie listed guys have generally come in at 100,000. Yep. So, yeah, 102. So, I think that it just gets interesting when you have someone like Sutcliffe that was playing as recently as last year.
And with that, Mark, are you happy to move off the mid-season draft and have a bit of a chat on the rookies that are available for downgrading to?
Sure.
Well, I don't want to tout my trade last week too highly, but I think in hindsight, Hinge probably looks like the top option to be trading in this week. Do you reckon I got that selection right last week, Mark?
Yeah, he looked pretty good. I think he probably played forward a little bit more than I was expecting. He definitely looked like he was up to standard and scored pretty well, 70-odd in his second game.
Yeah, important tackles as well. If anyone was watching the nail biter of a finish in that game, had a couple of tackles in the last quarter, kicked the goal there to put them ahead when they were even. So I think he's shown enough promise that the coach would certainly look to keep him for at least the short to medium term. As a backline rookie option, they're also not a heap available. So that's another plus if you're looking for a rookie. The backline rookie downgrades are a bit scant.
Yeah, look, I think that he was the most obvious one coming out of the week as a downgrade target. I guess, except for maybe Fort.
Well, Robbie Younger was super, super highly selected, considering he was a fresh debutant. Was coming off a 77 last week, so how quickly things change after a 17. Yeah. What do you reckon about Young, mate? Do you see him potentially being dropped?
Yeah, I do, actually. I think that potentially in his first year, first game, he got a little bit lucky, potentially. Like his first kick, he got a 50-meter penalty and then sort of just bombed it in long and it was marked and it was a goal assist. And then he got a couple of goals in that game. And then, I mean, a lot of rookies struggle in their second game and it might have just been that. But against Carlton, just 17, it's not really enough. Also, like, I don't know whether you saw much of that game, but at one point, it might have been in the last quarter, he managed to kick the ball out on the full into the second tier, like on the half-forward flank.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, so like at the 50-meter line into the second tier. That's not something you see very often. So he just looked way out of his depth in his second game. I think that St Kilda is replaceable in that role. So, yeah, I'm not too confident on him at this stage. But, look, if he's selected this week, then owners don't have to panic too much because there's a good chance that he would be able to sort of come in, kick a goal, get some tackles and keep a spot in that team.
Now, Darcy Fort's a bloke you've already mentioned, Mark. He's had 100-plus score in his first round, 51 yeah. last week. I thought he may have been dropped as soon as last week, but he kept his spot over Asava Radagalia. Yeah. You traded him in last week, is that right, Mark?
I did, mate. I did. I think that Sav, it would have been impossible to drop him after a 3-goal debut. So Sav probably just had an extra week's rest, and I expect him to come back this week. Is that what you would expect?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, look, that means that, unfortunately, Fort might be stuck with a break even of negative 86, which is tricky. But like, I kind of think that you've got Stanley, who is pretty injury prone, hasn't played out a season for quite a long time. Sav also had some injury problems last year. Is that right? And Fort seems to be ahead of Abbott and Smith at the moment. So look, I think that he'll get more games over the course of the year. If you're trading out Riley O'Brien, for me, it made a bit more sense to go with Fort because we always seem to have another rookie that can be your loophole option. And it's only a 14K different from Bynes, who he's never going to play. So I thought it was probably worth a gamble there just because if somehow Stanley gets injured, Fort gets two or three more games, you've made all the money you need.
Now, there was another rookie ruckman who got a game on weekend, and he's a ruck four.
Yeah. Coleman Jones.
Do you get to see much of him?
Yep. Watched a little bit. It was against the Bombers in the wet, so hard to get too much of a read on him. He did a few nice things, but I think that realistically he would be relying on Soldo to get injured. So I think that he'll be straight back out this week, and good chance we don't see him again this year unless Nankery injures himself or Soldo gets suspended again or injured, or even if Bolter sort of got injured, heaven forbid, in the next couple of weeks.
It was one more, actually, ruckman that had a debut, Peter Laddams. There was.
I didn't mind Laddams. I thought he probably was a bit more impressive than Coleman Jones. Laddams, I guess the issue is that that Lysette, I'm pretty sure Lysette's back this week, so Laddams will be straight back out, you'd imagine. And I guess that you could think that maybe Ryder will get injured at some stage, but Port do have like the Westhoff Dixon options potentially as well. So, yeah, if I had to rate him and Coleman Jones together, I guess Coleman Jones just because he's ruck forward, but I don't really expect either of them to get many games for the rest of the year.
I guess I was just teasing those blokes out a little bit because even though, you know, I admit like Fort looks like a decent enough bet to take, I'm also still concerned that, you know, apart from Sav, you've also got Wiley Buzzer, who's been injured for most of the year. He had sort of one game back in the VFL, the round that Fort moved up into the AFL team. And so this last weekend, there was Buzzer's just his second game for the season. But, you know, Buzzer at one stage was ahead of Sav in our teams. And you'd think that in terms of a ruck forward player, he potentially will beat, or not potentially, he probably will beat Darcy Fort out for that position should there be an injury going forward as well. But look, Geelong's fixture is such that they play on Sundays, or they play fairly late in the round for the run home. So worst case, you have a decent, you know, ruck hole swing player, even if you do pick Darcy Fort as a potential downgrade this week.
Yeah, it's really tricky because there's not a whole lot of ruck forward options unless you have Westhoff or maybe Rory Lobb, who is rucking by himself at the moment and has actually posted some decent scores. Sam Jacobs is due back in the sample this week, likely to come back into the side for Riley O'Brien at some point. And all these other options are unlikely to be playing through the buys, and yet Gawn and Grundy share a buy. So, it'd be awesome if you could sort of crystal ball and see who out of these guys is going to be playing round 13, because that could actually make a big difference to your team, but it doesn't look like any of them at the moment.
How about Oscar Baker, mate? He's the other rookie on the bubble this week that we haven't yet talked about. His scoring hasn't been thoroughly impressive, but 124K and getting games, that kind of fits the bill. It's enough to fit the bill at this sad, sad stage where we have very limited options to pick from.
If I'm at a midfield, I'd be really confident picking Oscar Baker at the moment. I'm really, really impressed by his game against the Giants on the weekend. He was obviously really quite early, but so were Melbourne and just in general. He kicked a couple of goals in the second half. He just looks the part. He looks like an AFL footballer. Provides really good dash along the wing. Kicked a couple of goals late. His dream team was way more than his super coach, just because he sort of got involved once the game was over. I was actually personally really impressed with Oscar Baker. I guess the concerns with him are that Melbourne has a super long injury history, and if some of those other semi-fringe players come back, there might be some competition for spots at some stage. But other than that, like I was at least as impressed with him as I was with Hinge.
All right. Well, it sounds like those might be the two top downgrade options for the week then. There's a couple more who are on the bubble, but they are 160K plus, one being Harrison Petty for the Demons, who is a key position backman, averaging 44, so you can strike him out. The other one may be a bit more tempting, and Faz told me his nickname last week. It's the Fridge, Josh Begley for Essendon. 167,000, scored 59 on the weekend. His stat sheet looks pretty poor according to the Freako, even going back to his junior days. Do you see any fantasy relevance in the Fridge?
It's really tricky. It's just at that really weird price. I actually do see a decent amount of fantasy relevance for him because Essendon's just got so many forward injuries and our season realistically appears to be over now. So I think that if he's fit, he'll get games for the rest of the year. I remember his debut game where his first five kicks were score involvements. I think he had two goals and set up three others in that time. I really like him as a player, third year. I think he'll average 60 plus for the rest of the year. I know that's more than he's scored so far, but coming off an ACL, he's just sort of getting into it. So, yeah, I think he's a good pick, but that 167, to pay 167, you'd want to be playing that person on field realistically. So I can't, I'd really, really have to be looking for a forward rookie and be pretty desperate, which I am not this week, but even though I'm moderately confident in him. You do know who else is 167, though?
Who's that, mate?
Harley Bunnell.
Ooh, there's a bit of talk on him, but realistically, until he starts being named, and in fact, until he gets named for his third game, I'd be pretty wary.
Couldn't pick him.
Yeah.
Massive, massive, massive risk, but he could be the savior. If somehow his calves held it together, he could be the guy that comes on, averages 80, and you get him at a rookie price and you don't have to upgrade that position.
Yeah. I mean, the alternate is you trade him in after 1 week because he's absolutely killed it, or for his return game, he gets injured within his first two games, doesn't even go upset. So, I'm happy to get excited by him. It's great to have somebody to look forward to who's previously, you know, been close to a premium scorer, but honestly, for anybody out there who's considering trading him in early, please do not. The injury risk means that he might be out within the first two games before he even gets to the bubble lip, unfortunately.
He could be out in the first 2 minutes, mate. he has played two games in 3.5 years.
So it sounds like we've got Hinge 1, Baker 2, Begley 3. Now,
yeah. Well, 4, depending on where you put 4. Because some of us have Riley O'Brien, Marcus.
Well, if you still have Riley O'Brien, that is a good point. You didn't trade him out last week, then Rob to Fort certainly looks like a decent option this week. Scratch decent, like a good option this week. We did get a debutant on the weekend who our mate Bryce has been waiting for a long time. He picked him as a loophole player who will eventually get games.
Yeah.
And that's Brett Bewley for Frio. On debut, scored 49. And actually, even though his Supercoach scoring wasn't exactly brilliant, he certainly did enough on ground to suggest he'll continue getting games at least for another week, but potentially even longer.
Yeah, absolutely. If you watch that game and listen to the commentary, Dermott absolutely fell in love with him. And just a couple of his movements out of the back half. There was one kick where he spotted up a guy in the middle and just put it over another player's head to hit him up. Super risky kick that almost won them the game or may have had a strong contribution towards that. So I reckon that would not have gone unnoticed. And at 24 years of age, he is hopefully someone that after his bye, so he will have played two, then he'll have his bye. After his bye, round 13 will be available as a downgrade option in the midfield. And so confident that I'm actually planning around that, so making sure I leave a spot for him at the moment.
Yeah, very nice. I'm in the same spot. Good call out about his bye, Mark. So you can trade him in early, but really, really seems like quite a risky move considering he's not going to get his price increase for another two following that because of his buys. But
and we're going to be scratching for downgrade targets in round 13, so leaving one available that will be available then or should be available then is, I think, pretty smart strategy.
All right, mate. So let's finish up the rookie section with this question from Scott McNaughton on Facebook. Do we go now on average downgrade options or wait post the mid-year draft for those players to get an opportunity? So following our assessment of the mid-season draft, you know, albeit early days, it's only been an hour since the dust has settled on that. But considering that and the rookies we actually have available, I think the recommendation this week is to do a downgrade and potentially even two. Like, do you see next week being another tough week for rookie options, Mark? Would you potentially consider both a Hinge and a Baker in the 1 week?
It really depends on your team structure and also what your maybe your round 12 plans are. It'd just be interesting upgrading like once or twice going into like in that first bye week. It's an interesting time to be upgrading. You'd sort of be rather do that a week later if possible. There are like a bunch of players that have played one game already that might get named this week, or there's a couple that have played two already that might get named. But yeah, at this time of year, we are pretty light on. So when they're coming through, you might just have to take them. That's where Begley even becomes more attractive this week, just because there may not be another lot of good options coming through.
Yeah. Begley is a round 12 buy player and Baker a round 13 buy player. So just factor that into who you have missing when.
And Hinge is round 13 as well. And yeah, there's some, I know a lot of teams are going to be in trouble in round 13 because we're missing our rucks. So that really puts pressure on the rest of your team when you're missing both those guys guaranteed.
All right, mate. Next question. This one's from @imbecilesc. Do we maintain the cadence this week if a compelling proposition exists? So, you know, Whitfield, Lloyd, Cameron, all with very low break evens. Or do we consider the double down and going for, you know, both Hinge and Baker while they're available, as you mentioned, Mark? And then Brackett here, he says, I'll be honest, I just wanted to use the word cadence in a question and I'll give you double thumbs up, Imbecile. That's brilliant. Love the upgrade cadence talk. What do you reckon, Mark? How will you proceed for the week?
Well, that question was guaranteed to get on the show, wasn't it? I think that you've got to maintain your cadence, mate. I don't think that you can be delaying at the moment. Like, this is, you got one more week to just do the normal cadence and then implement your buy strategy.
I agree with that. I think in terms of buy strategy anyway, we did get some questions in terms of, oh, what are we supposed to do this week? Build a bank so that we can upgrade the following week. If you actually look at the weeks that you have left, you've got two rounds of trading before you hit any buy free players post round 12. So what you actually want to be doing is continuing business as per usual this week, because no matter who you trade in this week, they're all going to miss. So you're better off doing something over doing nothing.
Yeah.
Then the following week, before round 12, that's when you want to be trying to do as many downgrades as possible to build a bank with the view of round 13 being able to execute sideways trades or upgrades to buy free players. So that tends to be the strategy.
Yeah.
So you start downgrading next week, but not this week.
That is ideal world stuff though, isn't it, with downgrade options?
Yeah. Certainly is. I mean, at this stage, we might be trying to sideswap premiums to generate some cash. I know, Mark, we have a bit of a chat going with the podcast hosts. And this week, straight out of lockout, the first thing I looked at was, oh, Clayton Oliver's fresh off his 175. I could potentially cash him in to, you know, a value premium and get 120K from a sideways primo swap. So we're getting to situations where you're going to have to look for some out-of-the-box solutions. You know, I mentioned Matthew Broadbent at the top of the show.
Yeah.
He's still under 300K. He's got a decent buy. You know, he's has previously averaged 80+.
Damn, we are getting desperate this year, hey?
Very desperate. I don't think I've quite seen a year quite like it so far, Mark, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, and that's why I guess we keep coming back, because every year is really different. Most years not quite this frustrating, though. But I think that, look, this is going to make things really, really interesting. And what teams do over the next 4 weeks, and even what they've been doing for the last 8 or 9 weeks as far as their longer term strategies goes, is really going to come out to see. And obviously there's going to be some luck playing, like Burgess coming back and getting named is a huge luck factor. Atkins getting a massive score this time of year is hugely lucky. There's plenty of benches where they're carrying two or three dead rookies. That's going to impact their cash generation. It's also going to impact the amount of donuts they have over the buys. So I guess some teams are going to have to be more creative than others. And it's going to get pretty interesting, I think. And we might see potentially, well, maybe this is just wishful thinking, but potentially some dramatic changes in rankings over the second half of the year.
Yeah, especially during the buys, I think we could be in for a fair shakeup. Now, what personally are you looking to do this week, Mark? Will you be looking for a value upgrade? Will you be doing a double down? Will you be hitting a true premium? Are you having to look at alternate strategies for the week, or will you be doing something fairly kosher?
Pretty standard, I reckon. I am probably at this stage looking at Scrimshaw to Hinge, just with Scrimshaw picking up an injury. And my initial thoughts after lockout was Rockliffe up to maybe Neil or Kelly, but probably a more likely outcome would be maybe Willem, Drew, or someone else to Jeremy Cameron up forward. He seems to have bottomed out after his 20-odd a few weeks ago, and his scoring in all the other games has been awesome. So with the Giants, they have a better buy for me. It suits me much, much better. They got a great draw. Yeah, I really like him as a pick. So, but that's a bit like just going for a super value option as well, because he'll be in, it's about 468, I think.
Yeah, no, I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of that trade. I am potentially looking at, like I mentioned, trading out Clayton Oliver out. And the bloke I was looking at trading in is Jeremy Cameron. If anyone is looking for a value upgrade this week, absolutely get on him. He's actually my top vice captaincy option for the week. His last three games against Gold Coast, 143, 108, 168. I just watched Tommy Hawkins absolutely demolish Jack Homps. Like, Homps was basically whining slash in tears every time Tom Hawkins took a contested mark. And not only is Jeremy Cameron playing them this upcoming round, GWS play Gold Coast again in round 23. So of the 12 remaining games GWS has, they play Gold Coast twice. Jeremy Cameron bottomed out following the 29 he scored three rounds ago. Is an absolutely sublime pick this week for our listeners. I hope I'm not...
Is a big recommendation, mate. I think that that's probably a recommendation for all Giants players, and I know we'll probably talk about Kelly at some stage, but doesn't present as much value, but two games against the Sun as a gun midfielder is probably a good thing as well.
Yeah, well, let's get to him now. We did get a question from @CryptoniteSC asking whether or not we get Josh Kelly in at any cost. Now, we downsold him a little bit because of his injury history, but gee, his last few weeks have been absolutely insane. His average has gone up now to 122, so I think he's in the top four, top five averaging players for the year so far. His last four games, 116, 154, 131, and 148. I mean, they did play Hawthorn, Carlton, Melbourne, and Sydney in that time. So, you know, not the toughest opposition, but they've got Gold Coast again this week. We did know they were heading into a pretty sweet run of form, Adelaide and North before the bye.
That's crazy. Against the Suns this week, he could get another 200 like he did last year in one of the games. I think that was against Carlton last year. Yeah, look, I've been scared of him because of his injury history. He was probably value 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. A lot more expensive now, but like his scoring potential is just massive. If you can get him and he stays fit, he could be a really, really key player to have over the rest of the year. I guess the only thing is that you're paying close to full price for him, I guess.
645K means he's one of the most expensive players in the game at the moment. I wouldn't be bending heaven earth to bring him in, because I think even if he averages, you know, 125 for the season, if you have to do, you know, really compromising things in order to trade him in, you know, you might be giving up 10 points of value or 10 points in a trade elsewhere over just bringing in a bloke that can average 115 off a cheaper price tag. So know that, you know, as you're moving to heaven and earth to bring him in, you are making a sacrifice elsewhere. So be happy to trade him in if you've got cash in bank, absolutely. But I wouldn't be doing anything too drastic to maneuver that.
I think the other part of that is that it's easy to forget about the reason you didn't bring him in when he scores so much over such a short period of time, which is the very real risk of his injury concerns. And like, he had a pretty significant knee injury, missed a lot of the preseason, and has had an adductor injury as well during the season. So look, I say that, and I'm sort of going to end up having to gamble that he does get injured at some stage, because like, he just reminds me so much of Pendles with his scoring potential and the way he plays, and yeah, absolute star, love him.
All right, next question, mate. Tori Thurgood from Facebook asking, what's the latest on Rocky?
Going to China, apparently, and you would think that if he goes to China, he plays. He injured his hammy. You see him run straight to the bench. He comes off. They sort of looked at it, and then he went back on for a little bit, and then he came off, and because he was obviously still feeling something, and then they've taken him out of the game. But they think it might have just been cramp that just wouldn't leave, and that he trained or ran today and should be okay for the weekend. So to be honest, I was actually looking for a reason to get out because that roller coaster has been pretty difficult, but looks like he's there to stay.
So if he plays this week, I assume you'll keep him, Rocky owners?
Yeah, I think that if he plays this week, just with the season that we're having, I think you've just got to keep him.
I think I'd agree with that as well. He's got the bye the upcoming round. So depending on whether or not he fits your bye plans or not, if he doesn't, I guess you could look at that as an opportunity to trade him out. But break even of 109. Yeah. So he's not too high risk to hold on for another week, especially considering playing St. Kilda in, what should be their home turf by now.
Yeah, I'm not totally loving having Rocky in my team, but it is what it is.
I gotta say, I'm glad I didn't trade him. All right. Next question. This one is from Kenny Anderson on Facebook. Whether or not to trade Brody Smith to a proper premium, or do you see him being a top six defender? And another one from Ashley Galea, whether or not it's time to upgrade Brody Smith. So I think I've mentioned a bit on the podcast already. I don't see Smith. I've never seen Smith as a top six defender, but his price point was tempting enough to start him. Now that he's had a score of 65 and hasn't had two large games to really boost up his average. His average has now slinked to below 90 at 88.9. I'm not sure if now is the time to trade out Brody Smith because his bye is in round 14. So you can trade him bye free to a round 12 or 13 bye player, which I certainly will be looking to do. We're certainly hoping for a little bit of a better run to the buys, Mark, to trade him out potentially at a better price point.
Yeah, break even of 100 this week, so gettable for him. It was a weird game on the weekend. He was 60, like just over 60 at three quarter time, and just did nothing in the last quarter. So just that was the difference between a good score and the score that he got. I honestly, most of the season so far, I've had much bigger problems to deal with than Brody Smith. I think that this week I still have bigger problems to deal with than Brody Smith. But if he's going to go, it's going to be, like you say, around the buys and try to get an extra week of premium scoring in there. But yeah, he's at the moment just not an out priority.
He has, within a five-game patch, West Coast, who he just played, then Melbourne, GWS, Richmond, and Geelong. So the run that he's got coming up, three of the next four, potential top four finishes there. Certainly a little bit of concern when your team gets potentially less of the pie, but you'd think you could at least hold for the next two and then at least do an opportunistic side swap around the buys. Like Mark mentioned, most teams haven't finished upgrading for now, so you can leave him for a little bit.
Yeah.
Last question for the round. Overrated v. underrated. Darren Pitt, our patrons, asked about Basha Hooley. What do you reckon, mate? He's just ripping form at the moment. He's overtaken Luke Ryan as the top, I think he's third highest or fourth highest averaging defender right now, averaging 106.5.
Yeah, and had a couple of down games as well. And picked up that injury early in the season too. I have him in draft and have been absolutely loving the last few weeks. He's taken me to a couple of victories, which has been nice. Him and Vlosten. Yeah, probably could have easily picked him over Lloyd last week. That would have been a huge call, but would have saved me some money and probably been good for my team potentially. I'm not sure that he can keep it going for the whole rest of the year at sort of that 110 average. I think that 100 to 105 seems about right for Hooley, but ripping form. It's really hard to know how to predict him just because he hasn't really done that super high level over a course of a season before, and he's now 31.
Yeah, agree with that. I have him probably still at slightly underrated. He's in less than 15,000 teams. His break even's 56, and his price point's only 500K. Considering most of the blokes who are averaging as well as he is at the moment are priced at 550. He still, presents a price tag that says that he should only average 100 and not 105. So even if he can maintain 100 from here on out, it's not too bad a get. Kind of wish that I brought him in at 400K, Mark, but alas, that is life. I think we recommended him as a trade-in target for value defenders. So hopefully some of our listeners got on board. Now,
I definitely recommended him for that.
Let's finish. Let's finish up with captaincy options, Mark. I've got a few here that I've prepped, so I'm just going to rattle through them and then give you the opportunity to give your thoughts, Mark. So I already mentioned my top option for the week, Jeremy Cameron, 143, 108, and 168, his last three against Gold Coast. And then, of course, Josh Kelly, 120 and 146, his last two against Gold Coast as well. He's my second VC option for the week. And then a stiff third, a very stiff third. You've got Grundy against Fremantle. He scored 134 and 150 in the two games he came up against Fremantle last year. So I doubt you'll go too far wrong with him. In terms of a captaincy backup, I've got Gorn against Adelaide. Of course, now without Sam Jacobs, opponent looks even more tempting. He scored 114 and 130 against Adelaide in 2018. And then the backup option for your captaincy, Patrick Cripps against Essendon. He scored 140, 100, and 111 his last three against Essendon.
Yeah, I don't mind the Cripps backup option. I think that you're right. I wouldn't go with Jeremy Cameron over Grundy, though. I think I'd probably have Josh Kelly, then Grundy, personally, as those first two. Max Gorn's...
You can't trade in a key position forward playing against Gold Coast and not give them the VC. You know, it'll empower them to score you that 200.
Yeah, no, I don't think I can do that. Grundy's just been dominating so hard. I think you just got to keep picking him. I think that the Adelaide-Melbourne game is in Darwin. So Gorn has a 150, a 140, and a 57 in his last three there. So I think he's still got to pick him, though, given his form and against those guys. Cripps, not a terrible option, but, yeah, I would have just go the Ruckman every week and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why we still do this segment. I guess it should just be Grundy going or going Grundy. All right.
Well, it's more relevant than when we used to have Ablett.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right, mate. Thank you very much for joining us for this week's show. I'm sure the listeners are glad to have you back after you were off sick last week, mate. And good luck for your trades this round. We're only 1 week off the bye.
Yeah, apologies to listeners for not showing up last week. Not good enough on my part. And good luck this week. Hopefully, I'll be up and about on the weekend from Supercoach perspective.
Catch you all next week. See ya.
See ya. Don't want this, get crazy. Don't want this, get crazy. Don't want this, get crazy.